All right. Is this loud enough? It is. You can turn to page Philippians, not page. Philippians 1, 27. It's muscle memory. That's all I say up here. Philippians 1, 27 and 28. Thank you for letting me be up here and share the scriptures with you all. I want to speak a little bit about living out the gospel in our lives. So Philippians 1, 27 and 28. I think we're all there. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. I don't know about you guys, but there's been times in my life that I've looked back upon or I've been in that I realize that I've gotten very distracted with life or, you know, worries or cares, tasks, everyday tasks that you do, work, school, whatever it is. And I've had to look at myself and say that I'm not focusing on what I'm supposed to be, right? And that is the gospel, right? And sharing the gospel and living out the gospel in your lives. And this is what Paul is talking about. He wrote this book when he was in prison. It's near the ending of his life. And it holds a lot of value because of that. It's some of the last things he wanted to share with the Philippians. And I think we should look at it in that light as that important. So he starts off by saying, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Here we see, by him using the word only, he's denoting the importance of this task. So he doesn't want us to be distracted about or have our mind on something else or thinking about something else, but he wants us to be focused on this task alone. Here, when conversation is used in the context and then the actual word itself, I looked it up, and it means, not only means the words that you say, but also your actions and your affairs. Yeah. And he says that in the rest of the verse, he says affairs. So here he's saying that my conversation needs to be becoming of the gospel.
Amen.
So becometh in this context is also referring to something that is worthy, right? So my life, the gospel is worthy of my life, is what he's saying. The gospel of Christ is speaking about what we all know today. It's his death, his burial, his resurrection. And he wants us to live this in our lives. And you may say that's kind of, I had struggles thinking about that because I'm like, how am I supposed to live a message, right? It's a little strange wording, but as I thought about it more, I began to understand that he's saying that it needs to engulf every aspect of your life.
Amen.
So anything that you say, that you do, that you're involved in, it should all revolve around the gospel. Right? And so in this context, he's saying to the Philippians that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So there's a lot of things that may fill our lives, right? Finances, work, worries, you know, other people in our lives that we feel like we feel indebted to help and to encourage or guide. And those things are good, you know. God has a place for all those in our lives. But the main focus is always to be the gospel, right?
Amen.
At Lehigh Valley, it's not coined by them, but it would always be keep the main thing, right?
Amen.
And that is the gospel, and that's sharing the gospel. It's not primarily the church or the people or, you know, yourself. It's the gospel. It's sharing the gospel.
Amen.
So, here we see he wants them to be consistent. He wants them to be sincere in their following of him, not of him, but of Christ. Well, he actually says of him in the later verses, but he's speaking here of Christ and the gospel. So he wants them to not only be faithful while he's there, but also be faithful while he's gone. And that's hard. I mean, I was thinking about that. That's hard to do. I feel like sometimes, you know, when certain missionaries come and certain pastors come, it's really easy to make yourself look like a really good Christian, right, in front of them. And, I mean, that's hypocrisy, and that's pride. But he's saying that, you know, whether I'm here or if I'm gone, like in prison, he wants them to be faithful just like he was there. Amen. Right? And that's the exact thing that God requires of us as well. You know, and we have this perspective because, and I always forget this, that he's always watching, right? God is always watching. And so he's always there. You know, he promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. So we have that promise that he's always here. And so we have a responsibility to act in a way in accordance with that, to be faithful in a way that, you know, if he sees us, that we are being faithful to this promise. Amen. And to this command. So he says to stand fast in one spirit and with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So here, spirit, I think, is referring to the part of man that communicates with God, right? He communicates with us through our spirits and through his spirit, his Holy Spirit. So here he's saying you have a responsibility here to stand fast in your spirit. And we're all supposed to be, as a church, he's speaking to a church here, that we all have responsibility to stand fast in one spirit. So the way we get to the spirit, this one spirit that we're all supposed to have, is to take personal responsibility in our lives. Amen. To maintain that spirit. And that's done through practical, everyday, hard Christian work. It's the faithfulness that we're all supposed to be involved in. It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. It's hard work. But it's worth it in the end because we all will be on the same page striving for the same thing.
Amen.
And he says with one mind as well after that. The mind is the intellectual and human part of the man. Right, so we are supposed to guide and control our mind to always have in perspective this command of striving together for the faith of the gospel. And he uses the word strife here on purpose because it's hard. It's not an easy task. And we all know that. I mean, if you're a faithful Christian, you understand that it is not easy being a Christian. You know, a lot of people at college, they'd all be like, you have such an easy life, and it's so easy for you, and you have no struggles. And it's like, you know, I have different struggles than you, but, you know, being a Christian is very, very difficult, right? But he says to strive together. So you're supposed to, the word striving here is actually the word wrestling, which denotes a battle. And he says to do it together, and all for the faith of the gospel. So we're upholding this faith, this one faith of the gospel, in the midst of the world. And we know that as a consequence, in verse 28, we see that, you know, we're going to face opposition.
Right.
And he says, "And nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God."
Yes.
So what he's saying here is that, you know, he's assuming that we're going to face opposition. He's assuming that we're going to have times where we're going to be afraid and face people and things that will terrify us. That's a given fact. It's not wrong to have the emotion of fear. God gave us the emotions that we have, especially fear, for a purpose. But he's saying, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Here he's saying, you're going to be faced with that fear. And yet you still have to choose in the midst of that to continue striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
And he says this striving and this lack of terror, this lack of choosing to give in to fear and to persecution is actually a token, which I find really interesting. It's kind of like a stamp. You know, you see something stamped on something, you say, that's what that is. That's where it's coming from. That's where it's going. Things like that. It's an indication of what's really going on, or, you know, what is contained in a package or a letter, things like that. And he says it's a token to them, to the people who are terrifying you and are trying to destroy you, in essence. He's saying this is a token of perdition to them. So they look at you and they say that this is crazy, right? You're crazy. This is insane. You need to let go of the faith. Let go of the faith of the gospel. But he says to you, it's an evident token of salvation. Right? So we know that, I mean, it's a given truth of the Bible that anyone who is faithful to Christ is most likely saved, is most likely walking with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that work, you're not saved by good works, you're saved to good works.
That's right.
Right? So the good works flow out of you. And this is an evident token of your salvation. So you can actually be glad and happy. It sounds crazy sometimes, and in certain situations, that you can be happy about something like persecution, but you can, because you look at it and you say, this is for my salvation.
Right.
And he says, he adds something on the end, he says, it's of God, right? It's the salvation that comes from God. It's not just man-made salvation or salvation that is fleeting or that is not worth fighting for. It's something that you can be faithful to and that you know you will get in the end.
Amen.
So in conclusion, I know I'm already done. It's crazy.
It's all right.
In conclusion, it's very basic, but don't let your life get wrapped up in needless worry about problems, about life, about whatever it is that everyone in this room has a different problem they're going through that is trying to draw their attention from this task.
Amen.
From the gospel, from sharing the gospel. And I really want to drive that, sharing the gospel with people around you. And don't get caught up by gain. You know, a lot of people, they really get caught up about, you know, the career or the college they're going, you know, that's all I'm thinking about. Where am I going to transfer to? I don't know. And I have to, like, catch myself. I'm like, it's really not important at the end of the day. It's not. It's earthly, and it's going to burn up, and it doesn't matter in eternity. And I have to refocus myself on the gospel is the only thing that's eternal, right? So don't get caught up in your job or your finances or your house, your car. There's so many other things. Food. A lot of people get caught up in food. It's crazy. There's a lot of things you get distracted by. But we have to always remember to focus on the gospel.
Amen.
And also togetherness as well, because
yes.
It ties us to together in that the only way we can really do this, and this goes back to what my dad said this morning, is by doing it together.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
So, it goes back to the importance of being in church. You know, if you're trying to do this alone, it's going to be very difficult and you're going to fail. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get downtrodden. You're going to get persecuted and not know where to go. Right? So you need your brothers and your sisters and your pastor to help you along this path to strive for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
And that's everything. Thank you.